And welcome back to the show, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, bringing you into the backstage conversations that I have with other front men and front women from all walks of life, and also saxophone players. Yeah, so I'm maybe breaking the rules a little bit for this one. 352 episodes, and now on episode 353, I have broken the rules, and we have a saxophone player, but he certainly makes his instrument sing. This man really should need no introduction because he has collaborated with everyone in the scene and not in the scene. Just to rhyme off a few of the groups he's performed with: Wiz Khalifa, Paramore, Jelly Roll, Bobby V, Intervals, Spirit Box, Chris Brown, Neck Deep, and The Used. I mean, this is, and Silverstein, and so many more. Beartooth, the list goes on and on. He is an absolute virtuoso of his instrument, an absolute sweetheart as well. And the big news is that he's got some solo music coming out for the first time too. He signed a deal with Next Paradigm Music, a big, big label, and he's going to be putting out his new single. In fact, it's out now. So you're going to be hearing that later. But this man has such a cool story, and he's done so much cool shit. I absolutely jumped at the chance to have him on the show and be the first to break the rules of having to be a lead singer to be on this podcast. Before we get into that, I want to remind you of a few things. You can always get in touch with me. You can chew me out for breaking the rules finally. Hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my email. I try to get back to everyone. And if you want to support the show, we have the All Access Club for just a few bucks a month. That really helps me keep the lights on around here, keep this show free week in and week out. And of course, yeah, you get bonus content, merchandise, all kinds of stuff like that, and also access to an incredible community. Shout out to all of my sinners worldwide. I love you all. I love you all. Hope to see you at a Sinner Fest real soon. Also, yes, if you like the show, a reminder, you can write a review on iTunes. That helps with like algorithms and shit like that. Please give the show a 5-star rating. Hit the subscribe button or the follow button, whatever you're listening to this on. That really goes a long way too. Downloads in podcast world are big time down. There's a lot of podcasts out there now. Things are getting watered down. I think post-pandemic, you know, there's a lot of entertainment sources out there. So it would really help me out if, whether you're on Spotify or Apple or just listing on the web, to hit that subscribe button. Please hit it now. I'll give you a minute. I'll wait. Okay. Have you done it yet? Okay. Yep. Thank you. And yes, that goes a long way. Thank you very, very much for all of that support. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. That helps a lot. Share it on social media. All that stuff really does go a long way in keeping this thing around. 353 episodes now. It's a crazy number. Absolute crazy number. Anyway, let's get into it. Here is my conversation with Antonio Hancock, a.k.a. Mr. Saxel Brooks.
Back together if you won't let me get better.
Yo, yo.
Mr. Rose, how you doing, man?
What's up, dude? What's going on?
Dude, Not much, man. I'm happy this is finally working out. I canceled on you twice.
Oh man, it's all good, man. I've been running my ass off, to be honest. And I know you said you weren't feeling well last week. The sickness was all around me and my friends about 2 weeks before. So I know stuff was going around either way this time of year. It's
weird, man. I've been getting sick so much post COVID. I mean, I was never like great. I always got sick, but I think what happened, and there's no conspiracy theory, fucking anything like that. I think what happened is, you know, I was getting sick like a normal amount, and then 2020 hit. And dude, for like a year and a half, I didn't get a fucking sniffle. Like my health was amazing because I wasn't around anybody, right? For so long that I think my immune system was like, once we started the fucking shows again and the cesspool that surrounds them, I think my immune system's just been like, whoa, dude, what are you doing, man?
100%, 100% getting thrown back into the mix. It's like, I feel like our body's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. So no, not great. It was my birthday 2 days ago.
Oh dude, well, happy birthday.
So I was sick on my birthday. Thank you. But you know, being sick on your birthday is never fun.
Yeah, it's trash.
So, but I'm feeling way better today. Happy to have you. Happy we can do this. Lots to talk about, big news for you and everything else, man. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, man. I'm just happy to be on here, to be honest with you, man. I've been like, when I was doing the local band thing, like years and years and years ago, I was like, me and the guitarist of my band, Johnny, like we were always tapped into the new interviews you had, like,
thank you,
put out and stuff like that. And I just thought it was such a dope concept, you know what I mean? To hit all the lead singers and you being such like a, you know, known person in the scene, and Silverstein being like such a known band, it, to me, it just made perfect sense. And I always thought it was dope. So I'm just happy to be here, bro.
Thank you, man. Well, you know, we're breaking the rules a little bit. This might be, I think this is the first time I've had a podcast with a non lead singer as the featured guest. I had Kevin Lyman on once, but he was alongside a couple singers.
Okay,
but the best thing was when I was emailing with your manager, I was like, well, does he sing? And the response was, well, he certainly makes his instrument sing. And I was
that's a great response right
come
there.
On. I know, it's like baller response. I'm like, all right, I got to have him on now. I'm not going to argue with that. And you do, you know? And, you know, you're such that's a persona. Wild. You've got such a story. And you've been aligned with so many groups in so many genres. I mean, why would I turn this down, man? Like, I'm stoked to talk to you.
Hey man, I would have understood either way. So I'm just happy that you were open to the idea. You know what I mean? I'm like in a weird, unique position of like, my own act essentially. So like I'm kind of like the lead guy, but I'm also affiliated with so many other groups and people that like I would have understood. But I'm again, thank you. I'm happy to be here for sure.
Well, that's a great place to start. To say you're in a unique position is about as like an understatement as you could ever make.
For sure.
To be, you know, there aren't other scene saxophone players. Like, you know, if someone needs a saxophone player on a song, a saxophone song, they call you. You're like the guy. And you know, like the resume speaks for itself. Everyone from Spirit Box to Neck Deep to Jelly Roll to Chris Brown to Intervals to Wiz Khalifa. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does not run the gamut more than that.
Yeah, man. I'm very fortunate, very fortunate. And, I'm not really like too much of a shout out dude mid interview, but I do just want to make light of one person. Cause you said, there's not really like, I'm the guy, which I definitely appreciate, but a friend of mine, Gabby Rose, plays saxophone. She's also really, really, really talented, plays for Bill Murray and also plays for the Jonas Brothers. And I feel like My resume speaks for itself. You know what I mean? I can always stand on that, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the other sax player, you know, kind of within the scene. So I just wanted to shout her out. She's super talented and stuff like that.
That's awesome of you to do. I mean, I guess to be a saxophone player in the music scene, your last name has to be Rose. That's just the
That's the thing, man. We're a tight knit community, but I appreciate that, man. It's definitely been quite a journey, and like I played with you guys for, you know what I mean? Yeah. That was super wild, and
we loved it.
Same, yeah, and even recording the, you know, song on your guys' album and stuff like that. It's just kind of how it's worked, man. It's been super weird. It just make videos and people would just take to it, and then that ends usually leads to me playing the show or recording or the combination, and it's just been super dope.
Love to hear it, man. And I want to get into the big news soon about all the stuff coming up for you personally, but before we get into that, I kind of want to start at the beginning, man.
Okay.
I kind of want to hear your story. I know you're from Maryland. You're always shouting out Maryland. It's all, I love that. You're proud of where you're from. And I know that your dad was a saxophone player as well. And at a pretty young age, you were jamming out as a musician. It's like kind of just ingrained in your DNA seemingly. So talk to me about your early upbringing and you know, how it was your family life.
Man, absolutely. It's weird because I don't really remember any time in my life ever that music wasn't the thing that I was way more focused on than anyone around me. And my parents definitely had a lot to do with that. My dad still does play in a band. Like, we play together all the time, still to this day, played in church together.
Cool.
When I was young, but his band, the name of it was Trilogy, and they were essentially like an all black, like top 40 type of, you know, they did casinos, they did different residencies at like resorts and stuff like that. Ocean City, Maryland, they'd like do,
right,
you know, they'd stay for like a month at a time. So during weekends and breaks and stuff like that, summer breaks, my mom was taking me and my older brother to see them play when I was like 2 years old, 3 years old. And so I've been like growing up around like nightclubs and stuff like that and venues like my entire life. Like, we'd watch the first set and then she'd have to take us back to the hotel and put us to bed. And then the three of us would wait to my dad to come back and stuff like that. But yeah, he was just in a really dope band where they all played different instruments. He sang, he played sax, he played keys, drums, and they would switch like depending on what the song was. And
right,
they were like
real talent,
real big, real like insane, bro. Yeah. Like, and the range of music they could play, especially being an all black band, it's like they were pulling out country, they were pulling out, you know, and literally anything. People would request songs thinking they wouldn't know it, and it became like a challenge almost. Like, what can't they play? You know what I mean? They were just one of those types of bands, had steps and moves for every song, a real good show band. So
cool.
I think just seeing him play like the sax, like he would pull it out during certain songs. And I remember like being really young, like 3 or 4. And this thing that stuck out in my mind was just like, they were performing the whole time and people were going wild. But for whatever reason, when he pulled out the sax and played a solo, like, I feel like the response was just different. And I just remember thinking like, I want to be that cool. And I hope I can play the saxophone that well one day. And I never really had any other thought of what instrument I wanted to play. I was just like, I want to be cool and rip the saxophone. That's it. Like, so yeah, between him, my mom, she was a DJ. So she was like, she was like, put me on to like whatever was popular in the 90s at the time in early 2000s. Like,
right,
you had everything on the radio from like Sublime to like Tupac, you know, Notorious B.I.G. to like all, you know, all the country, Faith Hill and Toby Keith and, you know, rest in peace and stuff like that. So it's like,
mm-hmm,
she was putting me on. I just feel like my upbringing was really, really eclectic. And I feel like my tastes and the bands I work with and the music I cover and play kind of reflects that.
Totally. You know? Totally. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's something about saxophone. And I mean, you're talking about when you were 2 years old. I'm not sure how old you are. What are you, like 30?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I just guessed. I had no idea.
Just turned, you know, just turned.
Good. Well, happy 30th. That's a big one.
Thanks,
man. Doesn't really
get
any bigger than that, I don't think.
Yeah, but,
you know,
I don't know.
So I figure if, you know, you're talking about 30 years ago, the early 90s,
mm-hmm,
mid 90s, you know, like, saxophone was kind of dying off at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always find when I'm like, I like to wake up in the morning and make breakfast, and I like to put on the MTV classics. It's just like on TV. I don't know. They just play music videos. It's like the old days.
Absolutely.
But they'll always play. It'll always be like reflective of like a decade or something. So they'll have like, you know, it'll be like, oh, they're this today. It's like all 80s or all 90s or whatever. And whenever it's the 80s videos, and I love watching them, I'm always blown away with how many saxophone solos there were.
Dude, they're everywhere.
In those songs. Like, it was crazy, you know? Like,
yeah.
Everything from, like, Kokomo by the Beach Boys, like, has a blazing, you know, sax solo in it. And it's so much. And then at some point, I don't know, that just, like, fell out of fashion or something.
Yeah, man.
You know? And I guess you were getting, when you were starting to play, right? When you were young, probably around, let's just say the year 2000, early 2000s, mm-hmm. It probably wasn't, like, as cool at that point, right? Like, it had fallen out of favor, I'd say, in a big way.
Yeah, it's super weird. I think about that all the time. I was, like, watching a documentary about Kenny G that came out during the pandemic, actually, and he was, like, speaking to some of that and how, like, he kind of helped coin, like, some of the smooth jazz radio stuff with his, like, kind of unique take on pop music, but being, like, sax led, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And people really, like, clowned him for it at first in the jazz community when he did it, but it obviously ended up taking off. And I don't think he's worried about it at this point at all.
Right.
But it's funny you bring that up because, yeah, there was saxophone in damn near every song in the 80s. And I don't know if it was just, like, overkill, but, or like by the time the 90s rolled around, but I mean, I'm sure, you know, music tastes and music, like things that are popular in the moment switch all the freaking time. Like,
yeah.
So I think by the time the 90s rolled around, you had the introduction of like more harder rap. And, I feel like the taste just changed. And on the flip side, you had alternative rock making its, like, you know,
sure.
Appearance. So I think music just changes like that to where it's like maybe the sax at the time just didn't have as much of a direct place in that style of music. You know what I mean?
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because the 90s were trying to be everything the 80s weren't, right? Like, it was like...
Absolutely.
It was like, you got rid of the synth, you know, it was like real drums again. It was more like a lot of the bands were kind of throwing back to the 70s.
Yeah.
Where things were a lot more raw.
Yeah.
You know, in fashion as well.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I think you're absolutely right that bringing an extra person on to play a saxophone wasn't really the vibe.
Totally. No, it wasn't priority at the time, but... Then, you know, I mean, and not to say it just totally went away. You always have, like, you know, jazz and smooth jazz and things like that have always been around, but at least at the forefront, like it was, exactly. Like you said,
in the music, 80s. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you didn't see it in pop music as much. So.
No. Okay. So you, that makes a lot of sense then. Your family's big music family and you're playing saxophone. So mm-hmm. What kind of happened in your adolescence? Like what were you into? Like, cause obviously, you know, you're into punk rock bands and, you know, hardcore bands and all that. Like you know of my band, you know of the scene bands.
Absolutely.
So how did you get into the scene, like around, you know, around the on the East Coast, like in the DC, Baltimore area, I guess is probably where you were going to see shows.
Yeah. It's super weird because I was not attached to that style of music at all. Like I wasn't even aware of what most would deem, you know, like the scene style of music or like any of that stuff. I was kind of in my own world of like hip hop, R&B. And then I think the heaviest that I got at the time was like my mom had given me a Limp Bizkit CD nice. when she stopped DJing, she gave me her whole collection of like CDs. So I started going through them after a while and like that original Limp Bizkit CD, like $2 Bill, y'all. I think that was it.
Yeah, that was a game changing record, man. That no one had nuts. Done that yet. Like that was like pretty cutting edge. Like yeah, for real.
I know. It wasn't that album was fucking nuts. So yeah, she gave that to me and I started like going through it. And I remember like I got into Limp Bizkit, I got into Taken Back Sunday, and they were like one of my favorite bands. And I kind of slowly started getting into more like rockier music once I got into like high school and stuff like that. But I still wasn't really involved in any scene stuff until I met my current drummer now, Adam, and the guitarist in the band that I used to play in named Johnny. And I met them and they were essentially like, hey, we have this band and we know you play guitar. And I was only doing like R&B and like church stuff and jazz and stuff like that. But they were like, we need another guitar player for the band. We don't have one. You should just come audition. And I was like, sure. Like, I don't know these guys, but like, whatever. I show up and they're like, this is the song you have to learn in order to play in this band. And they played me Alerion by Ask Alexandria. And I was like, I don't even know what this is. Like, this sounds insane. And so I just kind of like stuck with it. At first I hated it. And then after a while I was like, once I started like understanding the format of the music, I was like, okay, nah, this is cool. And I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I clearly and vividly remember I was on, I don't know if it was YouTube, I was on, it might have been like the end of LimeWire even, but I remember,
okay,
I remember searching like a bunch of these songs because I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I understand like these breakdowns and like this, I understand like the format. I want to find other songs that are like this. And I saw Your Sword Versus My Dagger. That was like one of the first songs that popped up. And
all right,
the intro to that was like, I ran that shit back so many times. So it just, I think them put me on to like that style of music, opened like the floodgates, and I just went in full deep dive. I saw, he took me to see Miss May I for the first time. They're like really good friends of mine now. And like,
oh yeah, best guys.
They're the, you know, they're the absolute boys. Like, seeing them and just being involved in the scene, we were playing at like Baltimore Soundstage. Miss May I let us open for them a bunch of times. We like really got close to them, and they were like hooking us up with like gear that they had that like they weren't using anymore and stuff like that. And they kind of like looked out for us a bunch of times. And we did a bunch of shows with Tom Taylor on the East Coast. I don't know if that name rings a bell, but like he was doing like a lot of the shows in like
okay
PA and stuff like that. So yeah, we just, once I started getting into like the whole band thing and pop punk and Neck Deep story so far, everything just kind of came after the other. So yeah.
Cool. So, okay. So that was in high school, and then you ended up going to Berkeley, right? In Boston.
Yeah. I did a program there. I didn't like attend, oh, okay, okay. But, I did like a saxophone weekend there, in my junior, right before my senior year of high school, I did like a 2-week
oh, okay.
program there that was like really, really sick. And, but yeah, yeah, I did that. I did like a couple other like programs as well around that time. So,
So otherwise, how did you learn? Did you take lessons? Did your dad show you stuff? Was it a lot of figuring it out on your own? How did you kind of like become the, you know, virtuoso you are today?
Oh, well, first of all, I appreciate that. That's crazy. But like, yeah, it was kind of the combination of all things. I played in school, like elementary school, middle school, high school, community college, and took private lessons as well on sax. And then my dad, he had been, even when I was like 4 or 5 years old, like when I'd go to see him play, he would have a sax in his room. He'd warm up before the show and he would just like hand it to me and be like, let's see if we can get you to like get a sound out. And this is how you play B and A and G and stuff like that. So I feel like by the time I even got into school, I had already kind of knew my way around the sax. So yeah, just studying in school. And then on like, once I got a little bit older, he started taking me to like this jazz club called Club 347 in Baltimore City. They had jam sessions during the week, and after school he would take me there, and they didn't even start until like 9:30, 10 p.m. So it was like really strange. Most of my friends were doing like after school sports and different clubs and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I can't really do that because I got to go to this jam session like in Baltimore City. My mom's like freaking out. She's like, is it safe? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like not even old enough to drink. I have to like not, I couldn't stand by the bar. Like, it was like really weird. But those experiences in combination with me playing in church and stuff like that too, in like front of people, I feel like gave me the early edge on like, I got experience performing in front of people way before anyone else in any other band that I joined or any of my peers did, you know?
So when did the name, the amazing stage name, Saxel Rose, when did this come about? Because this is like, obviously, it's, you know, now it's like, it's not even something you laugh at anymore. Like, it's just, it's nah. Like, this is just my name. Like, but it's very fucking funny.
Thank you.
And obviously people think about it and they laugh about it and they remember it.
Absolutely.
So how did that come about? Cause that's been, I don't want to say key to your success, but it's obviously something that is, I think, important than just like, hi, I'm Antonio Hancock, you know?
Absolutely. It's major key. The image, like the whole thing, it definitely plays a huge role. What's weird is like, it was never, at no point did I ever say, I'm going to be Saxel Rose. This is what it's going to be. That was never going to be my actual stage name. Me and my friends were just doing this thing where like people would say really dumb phrases or names, puns, whatever. And we would be like, yo, change your Twitter name to that. Like whatever. It could have been in literally anything. We just kept changing our Twitter names. So like my drummer was like Steve Harvey for no reason, just because like we said something and Steve Harvey came up and I was like, yo, you won't change your Twitter name to that. And then he did. So we just kept changing it to really dumb things we could think of. And I got on this like sax kick of like, I'm going to start making different sax puns and stuff like that. So I think my Twitter name, I was the Kid Frankie for a little bit, which is a reference to a Wiz song. And I was that for like 2 years. And then I changed it to Ice Tray for no reason. And then I started doing sax puns and I was like, remember that movie? It came out in the 2000s. It was called Max Keeble's Big Move. And I changed my Twitter name to Sax Keeble. And I remember I had it that way for like 2 weeks. And I was like, all right, I'm going to start doing these covers and stuff. But I got to like find a cooler sax name. So I just like, I searched Axe in my phone. And I just kept going down the list of like Axe, like different Axe names. And one of the first things that came up was Axl. And I was like, yo, I just turned to my boy. I was like, I got it. Yo, Saxl Rose would be a hard ass Twitter name. Like, I didn't even think about a stage name. I was just thinking about a dumb temporary Twitter name. And I changed it to Saxl Rose. And I think the next week I covered Ain't It Fun by Paramore. And Haley saw it, shared it on Twitter, and it did like 200,000 views in like a day, like something crazy. And
yeah,
all these people saw it. Alternative Press, Rock Sound, they all like shared, they like did an article about it, and they were just like, Haley Williams shares cool sax cover by Saxl Rose. And because they didn't know my real name, so they just ran with my Twitter name. Right. So after that, I remember just telling my boys, I was like, I guess I'm Saxl Rose now, because like these Haley kind of like, you know what I mean? Like she didn't, I don't know, if she definitely didn't do it like knowing that that was going to be the case. She probably just looked at it and thought it was cool, but the fact that she had anything to do with the fact that my name is permanently Saxl Rose is kind of crazy to me.
And you haven't gotten a cease and desist from Axl Rose or anything like that? There's never been a shout out from Guns N' Roses in any way?
Nah, not really. And I think I'm like in the process of, I don't even want to talk about the legal side of like what I'm like doing with the name right now to kind of like attempt to swerve that. If or whatever happened. But I think what helps me is the fact that I'm not like, you know, I'm not covering any or doing anything that has anything to do with Guns N' Roses. I'm not like using his likeness in any way. There's nothing that says Guns N' Roses about any of my merch, songs, anything like that. So, you know, I'm not trying to ride off anything they're doing, obviously. So I think I've swerved that, but you never know. That could happen tomorrow for all I know. Shit,
I mean, Axl seems like a pretty serious dude, but they're also a band that does crazy shit and puts on like 3.5 hour shows. And like, you never know, they could give you the call, be like, hey man, come play saxophone on this song because like, it's fucking funny. You know what I mean? You never know.
I'll be down. They're legendary. You never know, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love Slash, man. That's the Abe Lincoln of rock and roll right there. That hat is like legend. It's legendary, bro.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
So the big news, dude, you're signed. Paradigm Music, debut single Alone With You is coming out next week.
Yeah.
February 23rd. So this is going to be out. This is just a couple days away when this episode comes out. So make sure you are pre-saving that, getting ready for it.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I wasn't sure what to expect, you know, with your debut record, because you do so many different things, you know? So I wasn't sure what to expect, but basically this is jazz, right? You're playing jazz.
Yeah. It's like upbeat. Like it seems like I heard the same thing all the time. People were like, yo, what is it? Cause I've worked with all types of bands and artists and stuff. So I knew that like part of the element of surprise almost was going to be like that no one knew what it was really going to sound like if they were just going off of the people I played with. And also that created like a thing for me where I felt kind of like almost a ease of pressure, because I was like, well, that means I could really do anything and no one would be like, oh my God, where's this coming from? Like I could put out a rap song. I could put out a freaking country song if I wanted to. And no one would be like, that's not even in his lane. Like anything is kind of in my lane right now. So I think the key for me was just like, you know, me signing with Next Paradigm, they have like a ton of number ones on the charts on Billboard, and they've been really killing it in the smooth jazz world, doing a lot of like more contemporary, because I didn't want my stuff to sound like, you know, elevator like type music where it's like slow in the background. And like, I wanted it to still have like a good pop format of like verse, chorus, bridge
right.
type thing.
Right.
But I wanted the sounds to be modern. I didn't want it to sound too like dated, and they're kind of doing that right now. They have like a real cool sound. They're working with a lot of dope artists. They're getting all their songs charted, and they were really excited to work with me. So to me, it just seemed to fit, and we came to a really good deal, and they were just like, yo, like, we're gonna help you produce these songs and get it out and stuff like that. And I was like, cool, I'm down. So yeah, it's like more upbeat. I didn't want it to be too laid back. It's like upbeat, you know, smooth jazz in that world, which I thought was kind of key for me with the first thing I do. I kind of wanted it to be like a good middle ground that could be palatable for all sides of my fan base, to where even if you're not like, yo, I'm going to listen to this every single day, you can at least appreciate it, whether you're in rock music, you know, reggae or
smooth jazz,
hip hop. Everyone could at least be like, all right, cool. And I thought that was important for my first single.
I think that's awesome. No, it's great. It's great. Alone With You, it's out February 23rd, everybody. So yeah, if you're listening to this, it's probably either out now or about to come out. So that.
Yes, sir.
That rocks. Cool. So the whole album, you have a whole album coming out then, I assume?
I signed like a multi-single deal with them. So essentially we're going to like continue to drop singles periodically. Smooth jazz radio is like a whole different thing that I've been learning about. Like, it's a whole different beast than I guess the radio game in general. Like, this is kind of like brand new to me. So their cycles with radio, like depending on, like, they're really specific about what they want and how they rotate things is all based on like relationships and, you know, I guess like any other, you know, area of the industry or other radio stuff. But smooth jazz in general, like, it's kind of crazy. They are real particular about when they get certain songs and by, you know, from who and stuff like that and how long they want to rotate it. So essentially, depending on when I drop the next single, it's all dependent on how long radio is spinning the one that I end up dropping. So I got more singles in the tuck. And just depends on how well it does at radio. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, it's so exciting, man. Like, I guess to be you, I'm just thinking about what it would be like to be you. You know, you've got so, like, it's so much, there's so much shit going on all the time. You know, like, and not to mention, somebody could give you a call, like, right now, out of the blue, and be like, hey man, can you do that? Can you do this thing for me? Like, I think I heard someone, I forget who it was that called you and was like, hey, yeah, we need this from you. And like, and you're like, okay, yeah, cool, I'll do it tomorrow. And they're like, no, like, we need it now. And it was 3:30 in the morning and you like went to a church or something to record it. Like,
yeah, that was with Wiz.
Shit like that just happens to you. Tell that story. That story's insane.
Man, it was wild, bro. Like, and what's crazy is like my grandmother had passed away like 2 days previously, rest in peace. And this was like during the pandemic. So my entire family I had over at my house, and sleeping babies, my brother, my sister-in-law, his wife, mom, dad, everyone was in the crib. And I had just kind of started connecting with Wiz over social media. He had hit me up and a bunch of the people on his label had been like, you know, sharing my stuff and plugging me in. I'd been recording with one of his artists, Deji, and linking up with like a lot of different people. But it had just got to the point where Wiz hit me up and was like, yo, I got this tape I'm working on. I'm going to hit you up for it soon. And I was like, cool. And I'm chilling in my house and I get this text at like 2:30 in the morning, and it's like them, and Wiz is like, yo, I got the song, like, I want you to be on the tape, I'm putting it out. And I was like, all right, cool, send it to me, I'll get on it first thing tomorrow. And he was like, nah, like, we're putting it out tomorrow, I need this shit like now. And I was like, damn, you know, because in LA time was probably only like 11 for them, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
they're probably just getting to the studio, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so people, they were in that genre, they were crazy fucking hours. Like, the stories, bro, I've heard,
oh my
they
God.
Like, don't even go to the studio till like 11 at night or midnight, and they work till like, they work all night.
Yeah,
it's fucking weird,
dude. I've done that with him, like, it's absolutely insane. But I was like, all right. And I didn't want to like be rude and play the sax in the middle of the night when everyone's like asleep and the kids are here.
Oh my God, right?
So I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out. I had a key to my church because I was practicing there with my band at the time. So I like loaded up my microphone, my laptop, my interface, everything at like 3 a.m, packed my car and went to the church, recorded the feature. Hit them back, sent it to him, like bounced it down, sent it to him to make sure everything was cool before I like packed up and left. So by the time I got done everything and everyone was like, this is it, cool, you're good, it was like close to 5, I think. It was like 4:35. And sent it in, packed up all my stuff, and then went home and just slumped. So, and what's crazy is the next day I woke up and they were like, we're dropping a few hours, but we got one more song if you want to record guitar on this real quick. And I was like, sure. So I like did a guitar solo and then it was out by like 5 o'clock that same day.
Wow.
So yeah, really, really crazy. Yeah, man.
Crazy. Do you ever wonder, do you ever think about like, what if you just went to bed early? Like if you, like, you know, 2:30, that's a late time to get a call too. Like what if you were already asleep, never got the call? Would it have not happened? Would they have waited for you? What would they have done?
Man, I don't know, man. I'm a vampire, so I'm always up late at night anyway. But it wasn't really an option to me to even, once they said, like, it's coming out and you need to do it, to me, it wasn't even a fact of, like, I wasn't going to tell them no. To me, in my mind, I'm like, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. Like, Wiz has been my favorite artist since, like, middle school. So I'm like, this isn't, like, it wasn't even an option to me. I would have, if I had to record it that night late in front of everyone, if I didn't have any other option, I would have. But if there was a way that I could kind of be conscious and let everyone sleep, you know what I mean, and not disturb them, then I would drive to, you know, the next town over if I had to. So,
well, you've recorded shit in your car before and stuff too, right?
Like, yeah. I've same thing happened. Like literally the same exact situation happened where people were over my house late at night with the kids for like, you know, family stuff. People would be over here and I'm like, I don't want to be rude, and I'm sure no one would care, but I just feel bad about everything. So I was like, I forget, did I do it with State Champs? I forget which band I did it with. I think it was State Champs, but I recorded the feature. I set everything up. Like I had the microphone like hanging on the thing that you hold on to, like in the car up top. Like I like rigged it to like hang off of that, and then set my interface up on like the middle console, and then just like recorded the sax and the whip and then sent it back, and they were like, all right, cool. So
that's so funny.
I'm no stranger to this, bro, like by any means necessary. Like
so, like working with all these different artists, are you surprised how different bands work? You know, like some bands, you know, might need it right away. They might want you to like do it a couple times. They might be more particular about it, or maybe they'll be like, okay, yeah, this song is in this key and, you know, and like really musical about it. And other bands like don't know music. So they're like, I don't know, just do something that sounds like, like, you know,
and then
other bands like maybe even write your parts, like write it on guitar or keyboard or something. And like, hey, can you play this?
Yeah.
Like how does that all work? Like, and I guess maybe let me know if there's a couple artists that you were surprised with, like which way they were.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think 9 times out of 10, most people work the same way, where it's like, hey, we might have a bass idea or just some melodies. So, but do your thing. That's most people.
Right.
They kind of trust me. And that's why they're coming to me, is because they know that they've heard what I've done before and they know that I could do something dope, which feels good. So most people just trust me and they're like, hey, stick around this maybe, or maybe we have this idea, but do your thing. Then there's like the other, like one, maybe two out of the, you know, 10 bands that will be like, either A, like we already have an idea written, but embellish, or like, they'll be like, we literally have nothing, do whatever the hell you want. And right. I'm like, cool. But it just depends. Cause like I did the Motionless in White remix for like their last single, and they were like, you can do whatever. But I thought it would have been really dope to almost like, I didn't want it to be, if you're the average listener, I didn't want them to listen to it and it get to the solo and it be like insanely different from what they had already heard, because I didn't want it to be like, this is not like this song anymore. It's like a totally different, I didn't want to like make it too smooth almost, you know what I mean? I wanted it to be aggressive and still carry that same, you know, vibe of the guitar solo that was there, but with my own inflection. So I kind of stuck relatively close to the solo, but I made it my own as well. I added a lot of harmonies and lower octaves and background stuff, and I squealed at the end. So I still made it my own, which they really appreciated. So that most people are pretty easy, bro. Like I gotta be honest, like Wiz is one of those people too, where like I flew out to LA to work in a studio with him on like the last couple projects he did. And he's one of those where like the first time I went, he's like, what you said, getting there super late at like 8, 9, 10 p.m., 11 p.m. And we're working straight until like 7, 8 in the morning. And he's interesting because he just came up to me and was just like, here's the song, do whatever. And I'm like, like in the outro, and he's like, nah, like wherever you hear it, like just like just do your thing. Like, and I'm like, okay, cool. And that was that. But when, then when I went to do the album recently, like the last album when I flew out there, he was like, I could tell he was a lot more particular as far as like, this is his album. He's about to, this isn't like a project. This was like his commercial album he was going to put out. So he was like, I want sax in this section, and I want a guitar thing in this section. Like, do your thing. And every bit of the way, I was kind of like, I think I one-taked the sax solo. Like, I literally just played straight through, and he was just like, that's perfect, keep that. And I was like, word. But with the guitar, I kind of like laid it down in bits, and he was like, that's cool, that's cool, I like that, bet. And I mean, there's footage of that too, so people can check that out online. But
cool.
Yeah, I think most people are pretty laid back and just trust me, and I think I have good ideas. So I'm usually the one who's like, I want it to be perfect for the artist, so I'll be the one to record it and then send it to him, be like, do you like this, do you like this, I can do another take if you need, like whatever you want. So
nice. Nice.
Yeah, most people are pretty chill.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Actually have Ben from Neck Deep on tomorrow. I'm actually talking to him tomorrow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I know you go way back with him, and that was a band you fully went on tour with, right?
Man, a bunch of times. Yeah. Our stories are so like, my story will forever be connected with Neck Deep, and I like feel like I owe them as just a unit a lot, because I had a lot of firsts with Neck Deep, and I've told them that so many times, but I don't think I could tell them that enough times. Like, and Danny, who's not with them anymore, but he's still like a really good friend of mine. I talked to him yesterday. I talked to him all the time. Like, he was the one who like found me online from that Ain't It Fun video I did. He was like in the comments of that, and I like sent him a message and was like, yo, I love Neck Deep, I think you guys are dope. And he was like, yo, do that to our song we just put out, In Bloom. And I was like, sure. And I sent it to him that night. He played it for the band, and then they all liked it, and they invited me to the show in Baltimore. And how early it was crazy, because at the end of the show, when I got done playing, people were yelling my real name. Like, people were like, Tony, and there's like footage of that. So I wasn't even like Saxl Rose yet, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's how early it was. But they like just kept inviting me out to stuff. Like, I played that. We did PlayStation Theater the next day. I essentially just like quit my job. I was like, hey, I'm not coming to serve tomorrow. Like, I got to play this show in New York. So I did that. Then they were like, come to LA and play this show for this late night TV show we were filming on NBC. And I was like, all right, bet. So they flew me out for that, first time in LA and first time on TV, like doing anything like that. And then they flew me out for the UK tour. We did a all arena UK tour with Don Broco and Issues. So it was like, we played Wembley Arena. We did Notting Point.
Yeah.
Or like Nottingham Arena. Like, we did all these huge arenas. I'm like just a fan at that point. You know what I mean? Who's like, I can't believe I'm even here. So I feel like they brought me out on the Lil Wayne tour with Blink 182. Like,
oh yeah.
Anything that's been East Coast, like Jersey, Philly, Baltimore, DC, whatever it is, like they've always brought me along. And I haven't played with them since during the pandemic, just because they haven't been around since then. But I really, really love all those guys. And I'm like super appreciative of like everyone in Neck Deep for just being cool to like let me play with them so much and re-record the song and put out the remix. Like, there was a lot of firsts with Neck Deep, you know what I mean? So those are my guys. I appreciate all of them.
Awesome. So, well, yeah, I'll tell Ben that you said hi.
Please do. When you talk to him, definitely let him know. Yeah, so they're super dope. I got nothing but love and respect for them.
Anything I should ask him?
Ask him.
Any inside jokes I can make him laugh with?
Ask him. So I don't know when the last time you interviewed him was, but
it's been a while, actually. It's been, yeah. I want to say it's been like 5 years probably.
Okay. Which
is crazy.
All right, bet.
Maybe more.
Yeah. Super, super wild. I mean, it's definitely been, like I said, I saw them at whenever the Sad Summer that they did was, I think that was like,
oh yeah.
When the first like post pandemic like tour happened, I saw them then and kind of like caught up with them on that. But yeah, I mean, please tell Ben I said, what's up, and that I like appreciate, you know, him and him like him just being cool as well. But we had some interesting times on the Lil Wayne tour for sure. I'll let you ask about that. Just ask him about Saxo and Lil Wayne and Blink 182 and stuff like that. We had a little interesting run in with Wayne.
Okay.
I had an interesting run in with Wayne, but like he'll know what I'm talking about.
I'll get him to tell the story. That sounds good.
Or if you don't want to tell the story, it's cool too, because I don't know, like, how, it's not like bad or anything.
No,
like that,
I mean, I'm definitely gonna ask him about that tour anyway, because I saw them on that tour, and I hung out with them on their bus, I remember.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know where I think it was Detroit. It would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't with them at that point, I don't think, but
yeah, no.
But, yeah. And I just looked it up. The last time I had been on the show was episode 47, and it was 7.5 years ago.
That's insane, bro. You've been doing this a long time, man.
I know. I can't believe I've been doing it that long. That's wild. Anyway.
Yeah, man. We had a really good time on that tour, though. They brought me out in Maryland, and I remember after the show we were at, you played Meriwether Post Pavilion in Maryland, right?
Oh yeah.
There's like
Warped Tour a few times.
Yeah, there's like a pool in the back and stuff like that. So we're like in the pool chilling or whatever, and then we got done, and the keyboard player from Lil Wayne's band and like a bunch of people from his band were out in the lobby. There's like a piano out there. So he started playing, and I remember Wes from Neck Deep was like, "Yo, you should just like jam with him." And I was like, "Hell yeah." So I got my sax out, and we just started like just vibing for like, I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes, just like playing stuff. And when I turned around, I didn't realize that everyone from Blink's camp, everyone from Wayne's camp, everyone from Neck Deep, like everyone was just like behind us, just watching and stuff like that. Like Mark was there, he was checking us out. Like,
cool.
Travis Barker's kids were there checking us out. And then we got done in the place, just like all the workers, everyone was just like clapping and stuff. And I remember that was like a real cool moment. So they've like, again, the love I have for Neck Deep, like knowing I'll never say anything bad about those dudes. They're like the best. They're going to be cool with me forever.
I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Well, dude, thanks for doing this, man. What else to tell the people? What else you got going on? I mean, obviously, yes, the debut single is coming out, Alone With You. Check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Next Paradigm Music.
Yes, sir.
What else? You got any collabs you can shout out or anything coming out?
Yeah, man, I'm playing a lot of shows. Like this year, I'm on the road a lot. Like I just got back from Massachusetts. That this one band flew me out to. They like had me play a show with them. So that was like super, super, super dope. And not only that, but they were called Dreamwake. They had like a bunch of sax in their music and stuff like that. So I flew out for that, immediately got back to play a show in Jersey that I just did with Next Paradigm. They're like booking me a lot of shows right now. So I'm more mobile than I've ever been right now. I'm in Richmond tomorrow. I'm leaving first thing in the morning to play Richmond, Virginia. I'm playing in Charlotte, North Carolina, early March. I think on the first, I'm in Jersey again. I'm playing a lot. I'm on the road heavy. I'm doing a reggae fest in Lake Tahoe later on this year. So I'm everywhere. So I think if the main thing I want to tell people is just like, let me know where to come next. And if I am coming close to you, please come out and just see me perform. Cause I love the music I'm playing. And I think one of my strongest assets is definitely my live performance. I have a lot of fun performing. So definitely come see me live. As far as collabs go, I got a bunch of stuff in the tuck that I don't want to even talk about yet, because it's like it's right there and I don't want to jinx it. but me, I can say this for sure. Me and Wiz have like a bunch of unreleased material that like I have in my phone right now that I have no idea when they're getting released. And that's just how it kind of works over there too. I didn't even know some of the songs were going to make the album. I just record, and then they're like his team will just hit me up and be like, "Hey, we got like paperwork for you. This song's about to drop." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." So I'm sure me and him will have some more releases. Everyone on his label, I'm still working with too. Chevy Woods, he signed to the label. I just did the intro on his album that comes out the same day as my single on the 23rd.
Cool.
So I just want to continue I still want to do my thing with the heavy bands too. I feel like 2023 was like the year I literally like played with I played with Ask Alexandria. I played with like a ton of heavy bands last year. So,
yeah, Spirit Box, that's a big one. Spirit Box, like, Grammy nominated. There you go.
Yeah, Grammy, definitely. And I kind of ended it doing country, which was like Jelly Roll and Alexandra Kay,
yeah,
who does
also Grammy nominated.
Absolutely. So I'm trying to just keep dibbling dabbling, man. Like I'm really just trying to keep doubling down on what I've been doing, which is like kind of doing a little bit of everything. I want to keep a hand in a little bit of everything and just mainly just have fun playing music. That's really the main thing. I don't care about much else.
Absolutely. Well, make sure you follow my boy, Tony Saxel Rose on Instagram, on TikTok. You're on TikTok as well.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, make it happen. I was laughing my ass off at the, it has nothing to do with playing saxophone, but just when you're in a Walmart trying to help a guy buy a, buy a microwave, he thinks you work there. I was laughing my ass off, dude.
Dude, what's freaking weird is that, like, if you watch that video, I have my outfit has nothing to do with Walmart. That's like what's so funny. Like, I was minding my own business, and this guy just starts asking me questions. And I'm like, he's like, you guys got any more of these, like, microwaves? And me being a troll, I'm just like, ah, this is my moment. Like, I get to play into this. So I'm like, yeah, we got some gray ones in the back. Like, what are you thinking of? Like, what kind of ones are you into? And he was like, I don't want red. I don't want anything that's red. And I was like, all right, bro, let me look in the back and see like what we got for you. Wait right here. And I'll give it a look. I walk like 2 feet and I start busting out laughing. And he's like, I knew you didn't work here. And I was like, why the hell would you ask me that?
Like, yeah, I love it when you just like, yeah, no, we got that in green. I'm like, I've never seen a green microwave.
Dude, I know. TikTok is so weird. I'm sure you guys know, because I don't know like what the pressure is from either labels or management is these days to, I mean, I'm sure you could probably speak forever on that, but I can't figure it out, man. I feel like I have Instagram pretty dialed in. Like I know 9 times out of 10 what'll work and what won't work. And that's like my bread and butter. I've gained 9 out of my 10 opportunities from stuff I do on Instagram, not TikTok. TikTok is weird, bro. I've worked so hard on videos and they do absolutely nothing. And then the Walmart video gets like 100,000 views. Like I don't get it.
I don't know, man. I have a TikTok account. I've never posted on it. We have a band TikTok, but none of us are really all that inspired to do much with it, you know.
It seems manufactured sometimes.
There's a lot. It does. Obviously, there can be a ton of upside to it. So, like, I get
it.
Absolutely. And I have a lot of respect for people that can put together really good content on social media, because I'm not like, I don't really know how to edit video like properly. So, you know, for me, it's like, that's not really something that I'm ever going to be huge into, but I'm sure it's, I'm sure the podcast would be way bigger too if I was able to like cut together, you know, the funniest parts of this video of this podcast, for example, right? And like,
that's true.
Put it
that's
together true. And, you know, but it's just, again, like, there's only so many hours in the day. And I'd like, to be fair, I'd rather, I don't know, fucking play pinball and like eat tacos, you know, like,
absolutely.
Sorry.
And nah, it's not naturally, that's not what you would like. It wouldn't be organic. You'd have to like actually try to like be like, all right, let me do this, which is not a bad thing. But I feel like you sticking to what, you know, same thing with me. I'm sticking to just what I'm doing organically, and that's what's worked the best for me. So maybe it wouldn't feel as organic if you like all of a sudden out of nowhere just tried to like clearly do stuff on TikTok. You know what I mean?
Right,
like I'm not sure if it would hit the same as is hitting for you right now.
No, exactly. But I did want to point that out, that you're a a good social media follow. So
thank you,
follow
man. Thank you.
Follow Saxel Rose on Instagram for sure, and TikTok if you got it. And dude, sky's the limit, man. It's a beautiful time. I'm so happy that you did this.
Man.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I just can't wait to see what's next.
Man, I'll say it a billion times, man. I'm hype as hell I'm on here, because I check for all the new interviews when you did the one with Yours Truly and stuff like that. Super into all the bands. So whenever you post a new one and I listen to the artist, I'm like, cool. And I've even tapped into ones where I have no idea who this is, but you don't do none of your interviews or anything but fire. So to me, it's like, even if I don't know them, I could probably learn something new.
Yeah,
so I'm happy to be on the league now. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I love that, dude. No, but I mean, you're right. I think like a big part of it for me, it's like, yeah, sure. You know, I got Ben Barlow coming on next week. Like he's, you know, one of the leading bands in pop punk. Like, of course, having him on the show is going to be amazing.
Absolutely.
But I've had a lot of artists that I know a lot of people aren't going to know, but I have them on because they're a great story. It's an amazing story and they're amazing artists. And I want to like, you know, showcase that. And I'm sure with you, a lot of people are going to go, Axl Rose and kind of laugh and go, what the hell's this? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're going to hear about it and they're going to go, oh shit, like this is a really compelling, really interesting story. And I want to check out this guy's collab. So,
amen.
And his solo music. So I love it, man. I'm happy to help you out. And thank you for helping me out.
No, man, thank you. You're the man. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all letting me play those years ago and record anything y'all need. You know, I got you on whatever. And I'm just hyped. I'll definitely tell Ben I said what's up and good luck on all the other interviews. I appreciate you. So my mom's hyped for this. I already told all my family and my friends, my boy Johnny. He's been hype about it since I told him about it in the first place. So I know people are going to listen where I'm at. So absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate you.
Well, I'm going to leave the people with a tune. Your new tune. I'm going to delay it till release date, actually. I just want people to hear this song. So I'm going to play Alone With You.
Appreciate
coming
it.
Out. It's out now when you hear this. And I'll also make sure to play All On Me, the Silverstein times Axl Rose collab.
Yes, sir.
From a few years back, which is absolute fire.
Yes, sir.
My man, thank you so much for doing this, man. Enjoy the rest of your day and hope to see you soon.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. I appreciate you.
So there it is with Mr. Axl Rose, aka Antonio Hancock. What an awesome guy. And what a cool story. You know, I mean, saxophone is just an instrument that I guess in some ways has fallen by the wayside a little bit in terms of popularity, but I think it's back. And 2024 might be the year of the sax, led by Mr. Axl Rose himself. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass, but regardless, he's doing so much cool shit. Wiz Khalifa, Paramore, Jelly Roll, Intervals, Spirit Box, Neck Deep, The Used, Silverstein. The list goes on and on. Don't miss his debut single, which I'm going to play in a minute, Alone With You. It is out now. I've delayed this episode just so you could hear it. It is super, super exciting stuff. And I know this isn't going to be for the normal average lead singer syndrome listener, because this is like, what do you call it? Smooth jazz? Like, this is chill. But, you know, maybe you don't want to listen to screaming, you know, angry music all the time. Maybe you want to put this on for a little break from all that. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in today for the first ever non-lead singer frontman, I'll call him, on the podcast. Next week, as I have teased, we should have Ben Barlow of Neck Deep. I haven't actually recorded it yet, so maybe I'm jinxing it. But we're going to have Ben on the show, presumably. I'm excited to talk to him. Excited for you to hear that, because Neck Deep put out an absolute fire album. And that's about it. Make sure you're subscribed. If you like this shit, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club as well. But I'm going to leave you with a couple tunes. Here is the debut single from Axl Rose, Alone With You, followed by the Silverstein song, All On Me, featuring Axl as well. Peace and love, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Would you wait up for me if I call in a minute? It's hard to be here. This time zone's a killer, but it's all on me. You caught me having a moment. I'll let you know when it's over. I'll let you know when it's over. Lost your voice on the line, giving me too much credit. Must be out of my mind. Love leaves if you let it. So let me know if it's over. So let me know if it's over. Some time now. So let me know if it's over. So let me know if it's over. Got your note in the air, I replied on the pavement. I'm afraid to find out if you mean what you're saying. I just wanna come home, is it still my apartment? On that red eye flight, move through the darkness. So let me know if it's over. We'll be right back.